Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. It is Monday, February 8th, the day after the Super Bowl. A big congratulations to Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers winning the Super Bowl last night. Tom Brady's seventh Super Bowl in his career. Just an amazing, amazing career. So many different numerical perspectives and, you know, just in general, historical perspectives of how special he's been, how special it's been to witness his career throughout many of our lifetimes. You know, whatever opinion you have of him, you know, whatever debate you want to have with him, at the end of the day, he's just one of the greatest stories that has ever been in sports. And many of us are so lucky to have been able to enjoy, you know, all of his career throughout our lifetimes. But thankfully, you know, with the Super Bowl here and gone, full focus now comes to the NBA basketball season. And of course, here in Memphis, that means the Memphis Grizzlies. And through this podcast, that means another edition of the Nitty Gritty Grind Session, our condensed Locked On Grizzlies podcast version, where we're going to get back to focusing this time on specific game previews. And this time we'll be focused on welcoming the Toronto Raptors to Memphis. The Raptors, a team that right now is a very, you know, kind of, you know, paradox, enigma type of team in a lot of ways. They certainly still have plenty of, you know, indications that they are, that they had the potential or close to the potential of a team last year that was in the top three of the Eastern Conference, but in other ways, certainly a team that has struggled this year. And we'll discuss, you know, how those strengths and struggles could impact the Grizzlies game, you know, tonight in Memphis. Of course, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are available, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, Google Podcasts, the podcast app on your phone. Listen, subscribe, enjoy. Let us know. Give us a review. Let us know what you'd like to be discussed, as we certainly always want to make sure that our show meets our listeners' preferences. But, you know, hey, the main reason why we do this show is to talk basketball, and that's the best aspect of this show that I love to do. So let's get to it. In this episode of the Nitty Gritty Grind Session, you're going to focus on the Grizzlies on offense, since that's really where we need to see improvement soon for the Grizzlies to get back on track. The Grizzlies offense versus the Raptors defense. And then we'll take a quick break and look at the Raptors offense versus the Grizzlies defense. And as we've discussed, you know, just in general right now, the Grizzlies are very much struggling, especially when it comes to their starting unit. You know, ever since Ja Morant was injured back on December 28th, over that time frame, which now spans nearly 6 weeks, the Grizzlies starting unit is the worst offensive, you know, starting unit in the NBA. Now, a lot of that has to do with the fact that they're without their best talents, and also they've had to continue to rotate talents in and out of the starting lineup due to so many different injuries. For instance, tonight, the Grizzlies are going to be without Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton, two key contributors, and their losses are going to be felt. Their absences, you know, were felt without BC, and then Melton exiting the game on Saturday night against the Pelicans. Their absences were certainly felt, especially with how well Brandon Clark was in terms of his efficiency returning and how well Melton was shooting the ball. But tonight with the Grizzlies, when it comes to them being on offense, you know, there are potential opportunities where the Grizzlies, you know, could find success, but they must be aggressive. The key here is that they must be aggressive. Now, we know with Ja, we know with others, the aggressiveness is there. But the thing is that you've got to be intelligently aggressive. Ja does that on a consistent basis. He's aggressive trying to get to the rim. He's aggressive if the shots they're making the shot, and he's aggressive to where if what he's trying to do is not there, finding the pass that works to create offense. But others are going to have to be aggressive in an intelligent way as well. That doesn't mean Dylan Brooks shooting the ball when he just when he feels that he would like to take a shot. It's staying aggressive, enforcing the situation, but doing it in a way in which you're staying in the flow of the offense to try to get as many high percentage looks as possible. Tonight's going to be another night where the Grizzlies, you know, Ja Morant probably is going to struggle a bit. For instance, when it comes to this Raptors team, they are second in the NBA, and when it comes to two-point field goals allowed. So overall, the Raptors rank second in the NBA in terms of fewest field goals allowed to their opponents, they rank first in the NBA in terms of fewest field goal allowed to their opponents, and they rank second in terms of two-point field goals allowed to their opponents. So for a team like the Grizzlies that really does like to stand to you know, produce in the paint, the reason why it's going to be a bit tougher this time is because this Raptors team is very good at limiting shots when it comes to the paint and getting close to the rim. Now, you can find success if you can get your shot off, but The Raptors are very good at denying good looks when it comes to two-point shots. One way that the Grizzlies can counter that, though, is not to let that prevent them from getting to the rim. Because one thing that the Raptors also, one way to beat the Raptors, is that they are 28th in the league in both free throws, in both allowing free throws made and allowing free throw attempts. So there are very few other teams in the league that you can find more success against getting to the line. The problem is that's an area of weakness for the Grizzlies. They're one of, if not the worst teams in the league when it comes to getting to the line. So in terms of getting into the paint, which we know is the bread and butter of this Grizzlies team, yes, they're once again facing another opponent that's going to make life hard to find success consistently in the paint. However, the fact that the Raptors allow, you know, they're one of the bottom five teams in the league in terms of allowing teams to get to the free throw line, and they're one of the bottom five teams in the league when it comes to allowing assists. That's something that the Grizzlies can feed off of. That shows that the Grizzlies, despite the fact that their shots may not necessarily be there, they still need to remain aggressive because there are ways to succeed, especially if the Grizzlies can find success with their floaters through Xavier Tillman, Tyus Jones, and Ja Morant, and especially with Jonas Valanciunas getting his close-range shots. If the Grizzlies can find some success in that 5 to 10-foot range and then start getting to the rim and getting the Raptors in foul trouble, that not only gets the Grizzlies to the line, but it also means that the Raptors are going to have to collapse when it comes to their defense, and that means passes out to the three-point line, which the Grizzlies are going to have to shoot, because that is the area where they can find a bit of success. While the Raptors are very good at limiting shots inside the two-point line, they're in the bottom five of the league when it comes to allowing shots from three. They right now are allowing 37 three-point attempts per game, and teams are making nearly 14 per game at a clip of about 38%. So though the Grizzlies are not one of the better shooting teams in the NBA, they once again are going to be facing a team a lot like they did against New Orleans, who allows for you to find some good looks from three. So the Grizzlies are going to have to be disciplined. Ja Morant obviously has struggled. Dylan Brooks obviously is struggling. Kyle Anderson has been inconsistent. Up and down our starting lineup, we have had a lot of inconsistencies, and it's been our bench who's been able to come in and kind of give us the boost where we needed it. Well, tonight, adjustments have to be made in that starting lineup. They've got to play to their strength. And even if the shots aren't there in the paint, they then have to be able to adapt, either passing out, because you're going to be facing a team that's going to give you a good look from threes, so pass out for a good look from three. Try to hit your floater, in whatever various way you can get open for the shot. And if that's not there, continue driving to the basket with confidence, knowing that there's a good chance it'll end in a good result with either a made basket or a free throw attempt. Though the Grizzlies' direct way of finding success in terms of scoring in the paint may be a little bit denied tonight, the one thing that this team has to do, especially the starters, is play with confidence that they can adapt to whatever the Raptors defense throws at them. So if the Raptors defense is going to continue to blitz the perimeter while also packing the paint at the same time to deny the Grizzlies to get to the rim, don't fret if you're Memphis. Still play to your strengths, get into the lane, take what they give you, and know with confidence that since there are opportunities beyond the arc with this team, your ability to pass and your improved ability to shoot, especially on the bench, can really shine through. The Grizzlies are going to hit jump shots tonight, and we're going to have several people hitting jump shots with the Anthony Melton shooting not available, as well as Brandon Clark's ability, off the ball, not available as well. Many people are going to have to shoot tonight. Desmond Bane's going to have to step up. Jaw's probably going to have to hit a few jumpers. Dylan especially is going to have to find his stroke. But the way for them to do that is to play within the flow of the offense, trust their decision makers to get into the lane, and then those who are outside the lane getting open for good looks and hitting them. Beyond hitting their shots, passing the ball well, and staying aggressive to get to the free throw line, one of the things the Grizzlies are going to have to do is take care of the basketball. That's something that's kind of fallen off as well over this three-game losing streak, is that the Grizzlies have had stretches in which they have just not done well at keeping control of the basketball. And that's where the Grizzlies, a lot of times, they have to create their advantage, is through their own opportunistic defense, getting five or more shots than their opponent, on a game-by-game basis. When they do that, their chances certainly improve of being able to win the game. Well, tonight, that's going to be a lot harder to do against the Raptors than it is most teams. One of the big reasons why the Raptors lead the NBA in terms of allowing the fewest field goal opportunities to their opponents is that they've taken over the lead from the Grizzlies in creating turnovers. They create 7 turnovers a game. They're 2nd in the league in steals, 7th in blocks. And so that's a big reason why they are so good at limiting shots in the lane, is because they can get deflections, they can get blocks. And so the Grizzlies are going to have to do a really good job of taking care of the basketball, because as we're about to discuss, the one added caveat, there's a lot of similarities between the Raptors' approach and the Grizzlies' approach at this time. Using opportunistic defense to turn into offense while also struggling a bit to really defend shots. Well, the one thing that the Raptors do that the Grizzlies struggle with is that the Raptors are one of the top 5 teams in the NBA when it comes to shooting the 3. So if the Grizzlies want to have a chance in this game, they're going to have to control the basketball. Otherwise, if this Raptors team gets on the run, they could get a lot of low open looks for 3, and it could make it really hard for the Grizzlies to stay in the game. With that being said, that makes the Raptors obviously one of the teams that the Grizzlies want to see least right now because of how much the Grizzlies have struggled when it comes to defending the 3. Coming up, I'll talk about how on defense, while the Grizzlies have struggled, there may be opportunities for them to find success against this Raptors team to hopefully get a win. As we mentioned, areas where the Grizzlies can find a bit of success tonight against the Raptors is through being aggressive. They can get to the free throw line, where the Raptors are one of the worst in the league in terms of, you know, allowing free throws or looks to their opponents. The Grizzlies' passing can really come into play. You know, the Raptors are 27th in the league in terms of giving up assists to their opposition. And the other thing is, of course, is that through that passing, and if the Grizzlies can find success, you know, at the rim, at least consistently getting to the line, then one thing that should open up is the 3-point line, and the Raptors are in the bottom third in the league in terms of defending the 3. The reason why there are so many layers that are mentioned when it comes to this Grizzlies offense trying to find, you know, its step, trying to find some type of consistency tonight, is because they're going to have to also find a way to overcome a very just less than ideal matchup for their defense right now. As I had mentioned on yesterday's show, since the Grizzlies got back from their break, they are 28th in the league right now in limiting opponent shooting from 3. What I mean by that is that in the 10-game stretch before the Grizzlies break in the season, which started right after Ja Morant got injured, over that 10-game stretch, the Grizzlies were allowing teams to shoot 35% from 3, good for 10th in the league. Since they came back from their hiatus back on January 30th, in that time frame, they're now allowing teams to shoot 44% from 3, which is good for 28th in the league. The problem with the Raptors is that they are both 3rd in the league in 3-pointers made and 3-point field goals attempted. And they also are 9th in the league when it comes to accuracy from 3. That combination of how frequently they shoot the 3 but how accurate they are arguably makes them a top 5 shooting team in the league. And the problem is that's just where the Grizzlies have struggled. That's what made the difference, each of these games. Now, especially in the Pelicans game where the Grizzlies were a lot more competitive. In the Pacers game, they just got a big lead because they couldn't miss from 3. In the Houston game, every time we tried to come back, Houston would hit 1 or 2 threes or get an and one opportunity, and they always kept the Grizzlies at 15, you know, around 15 points or more for most of the game. And then on Saturday night, the problem is that early, it was Lonzo Ball hitting the 3. Towards the middle of the game, it was Brandon Ingram hitting the 3. And then late in the game, it was Eric Bledsoe hitting the 3. So you're now facing a team in the Toronto Raptors who, especially if they get OG and Anobi back, you've got Kyle Lowry shooting the 3. You've got Fred VanVleet shooting the 3. They've got depth. This is a Nick Nurse coach team. They are going to find ways to get good looks from 3. And with the Grizzlies' lack of attention to the 3-point line right now, this game could be decided very, very much on how good the Grizzlies are at limiting the Raptors from getting extended stretches of shooting the ball from 3 over time. Like, for instance, against the Pelicans on Saturday, where the Pelicans found success early with Lonzo shooting the 3. I think he made like 3 or 4 threes over a 4 to 5 minute stretch to start the fourth quarter. And then the Grizzlies came back, you know, towards the end of the first quarter, making like 4 or 5 threes of their own over a 3-minute stretch. If the Grizzlies allow the Raptors to have multiple stretches like that tonight, the Grizzlies have very little chance to win. And so the key tonight for the Grizzlies when the Raptors are on offense and the Grizzlies are on defense is defending the 3. But that starts also with the Grizzlies' offense. Because as I mentioned in the first segment, if the Grizzlies are clumsy in handling the ball tonight, and the Raptors can get out on the run due to causing turnovers, that's going to give them more open looks from three without the Grizzlies being set. So the Grizzlies need to allow for themselves to have as many opportunities as possible to get their defense set to be able to defend the three. That's how they're going to find some success tonight. In a game, just quite honestly, that the Grizzlies right now with their roster currently as is, they are going to be the underdog tonight. They're going to have to find ways to create advantages, and by taking care of the ball and allowing for their defense to get set, that certainly is a way to do it. Now, one area where the Grizzlies could find a bit of success tonight is through rebounding. The Raptors do not pose that big of a threat when it comes to being a rebounding team and, you know, also on the offensive rebounding side of things, though the Grizzlies themselves could get some offensive rebounds. But a big key, though, for this team is that the Grizzlies typically are at an advantage when it comes to long rebounds. Well, tonight they're probably going to be at a disadvantage. This Raptors team, even if they may not have the tallest people, they have a lot of stout athletes who play within their rotation. And with the threes that they attempt, the Grizzlies are going to have to do a good job of limiting the Raptors' ability to get long rebounds and then find another quick look from three. So it's not only staying aware in defending the three, it's also gaining position as soon as the shot is let go to get the long rebounds to prevent the Raptors from having a quick counterstrike on another three if they miss the initial one. A couple of things that could play to the Grizzlies' strength. One of them is that, as mentioned, the Raptors themselves, they're not that big of a threat when it comes to the two-point line. So if the Grizzlies were to, since they have Jonas Valanciunas back, they're going to have Xavier Tillman, and they're going to have Gorgui Dieng, the Grizzlies may be a bit better off really trying to let their defense extend out a bit, since the Raptors are not that prone to getting two-point shots. The other thing about it is that the Grizzlies, if they can find ways to contest those shots, that plays into the rebounding opportunities as well. So with the Grizzlies having Jonas back, and with him and Gorgui Dieng and Xavier Tillman, that could allow for the Grizzlies' defense to have a bit more confidence in letting their perimeter players extend out. So if there are shots that are taken and there are short rebounds, the Grizzlies have the advantage since they will have the size in place. But as mentioned, the thing about this Raptors team is that they just have so many different ways that they can beat you, especially if their talents are going well. Now, Pascal Siakam, while he has struggled this year, he has come on a bit as of late and is still certainly a threat. Kyle Lowry is who he is, just a very aggressive, dynamic, productive guard, as well as Fred VanVleet, who certainly has taken a new level, who's taken a step up when it comes to his confidence in shooting from distance. But the supporting names, such as Aaron Baines, Norman Powell, and others, Chris Boucher, those guys themselves are no slouches. They can beat you instantly if you forget where they are. So this depth of the Raptors team, as well as their ability to shoot from three, the fact that they are 11th in the league and taking care of the basketball as well, they're not going to make a lot of mistakes. And this is a Nick Nurse coach team. Nick Nurse is one of the best coaches in the NBA at maximizing the talent of the roster that he's given and also making them play discipline. It's very unlikely that this Raptors team is going to beat him, or is going to beat themselves. And with the Grizzlies' inability to defend the three as of late and the Raptors' ability to shoot the three, that is another big concern. So the Grizzlies tonight are going to really have to be locked in to playing to the best of their potential on both ends of the court for all 48 minutes of action. Yes, the loss of Melton and BC is going to hurt, but it's next man up and you just got to hope for the best. Really defending the three on defense, as well as getting defensive rebounds, is going to be a way for the Grizzlies can gain an opportunity to, at the end of the night, have the extra possessions needed to win the game. And once again, on offense, it's taking care of the basketball. It's staying aggressive, getting into the lane, trying to get the Raptors in foul trouble, but if that's not there, using the Grizzlies' elite passing ability to get good looks on the outside. The whole key to tonight for the Grizzlies is going to be attention to detail, discipline, and playing as a team. That's where they are at their best. We've seen a little bit too much individual ball as of late, especially when it comes to, you know, folks taking shots and things like that. I'm not specifically talking about Dylan Brooks, but there just seems to be at times where the Grizzlies are not fully trusting the offense that allowed for them to look so good against San Antonio. They've got to get back to that level tonight in a needed win versus a talented team in Toronto, arguably a more talented team than Memphis right now, but one that can be beat if you play to your full potential with without making a bunch of mistakes. It really should be a fun matchup. Again, two teams that, you know, do have a bit of similarities. I think Toronto is a bit of a step forward over the Grizzlies right now just because of some trustworthy shooting on their end. But if the Grizzlies can play well to themselves, if Ja Morant can kind of get back on track, you know, even if he's not finding his shots in the lane, if he can find a way to get 8, 10, 12 free throws a night, that'll be a big boost to go along with his passing. Once again, you can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC, the show wherever podcasts are available. Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, wherever you choose to find your podcast, please make us a part of your daily routine. We would love to hear your feedback, and can't thank y'all enough for support. Again, as I mentioned on Twitter, this past week was the second biggest week of downloads in the history of Locked On Grizzlies, so can't thank y'all enough, and glad you enjoyed the show. Until next time, my name is Sean Coleman, and we'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.